Hi, I'm Sean Owen and I'm here today at the Clinical Sciences Building at the University Hospitals Coventry and Warwickshire NHS Trust. I'm here today with Dr. James Bateman, a specialist registrar in rheumatology and internal medicine. James has an interest in Web 2.0 and e-learning. So first of all, James, can you tell me about your role in this hospital and what you've been up to?
Yeah, sure. Well, over the past year, I've been involved in the teaching predominantly of medical students from the University of Warwick. And as part of that role, I've also been doing a master's in medical education. And over the past year and the years previous to that, I've really had quite a strong interest in how we can use the Web 2.0 or so-called Web 2.0 technologies and e-learning to help improve the education of medical students.
Okay, and by Web 2.0, what type of technologies are you utilising?
I mean, I think it's important to say it's a confusing term, and doctors in general probably use it quite loosely. By Web 2.0, I mean, really, I suppose it's really trying to facilitate communication, and it's about user-generated content. It's often quite a difficult concept to think about. There's recent published research that shows that doctors think that using a Google search is part of Web 2.0, but the interest that you can, or the importance of clinicians being able to publish and generate content and ideas, but also link to relevant content and ideas, is very important. And through the Web 2.0, that's really where I see how we can improve medical education.
So it's a massive shift away from the traditional modes of learning.
Yeah, I mean, I think in the past, individual clinicians couldn't really get a point of view out there to the wider community. Now, with sites like Twitter, it allows groups of students and clinicians to join together and share not only their own sort of interests and ideas about education, but also point other clinicians in the direction of relevant content. And by deciding who you sort of pair up with in this social media, that you then you're opened up to a whole different world of medical information, really.
And here at EVIP, we're primarily concerned with using virtual patients. Have you come across virtual patients before?
Yeah, I mean, I have. I think it's certainly one of the resources which has been quite underused when we look at general medical education and medical schools. And if you look at the broad range of commercial education packages for, you know, revision packages, and it's not really clear why that is. It seems a very sensible thing to do, that when you have all of this high fidelity, high technology, web-based material that you can deliver with, you know, good broadband internet access, why this hasn't happened yet. And really, I think it's crying out for more research into the area and just really going out there and starting to deliver actual virtual patients for people to start to use and learn from.
Yeah, I mean, virtual patients aren't technically speaking Web 2.0 applications either, but they come under the broad umbrella of e-learning, and they're both internet-based learning resources, I guess. And this is something which I imagine students would be actually quite at ease with. Do you think the challenge is maybe convincing clinicians or people of a generation where they're not so computer savvy to accept these modes of learning?
Yeah, I mean, I think that my medical students would just walk and run with this sort of technology if it was given to them. The biggest problem area that I see is that clinicians that are used to using more traditional modes of teaching are much less likely to buy into what they might see as a fad or a technology that isn't here to stay. And that's a real problem, because to get virtual patients to work in the hospital and community setting, these clinicians have to buy into virtual patients. They have to be using them. And I think they're also going to have to be altering them and editing the content of the virtual patients and generating their own patients for their own students to learn from. And I think at Coventry here, that's one of the challenges, you know, which we're going to have to face.
So how do you see virtual patients and e-learning, Web 2.0, and in general, internet-based learning resources shaping medical education in the future?
Yeah, I mean, I think an organisation like EVIP is really important. When we consider when we've got user-generated content, it has to have a stamp of authority. And one of the main concerns about the Web 2.0 and these sort of technologies, that anybody can publish a virtual patient. How do you know that the information on there is correct? So I really think that a body with some status, which can produce content that is accessible, not just to students from a single university, but the ethos of producing content which can teach students from different countries, different continents, is really the way that this sort of thing can develop. Virtual patients could be used for all sorts of different activities, from clinical examination to serious event reporting, exploring potential flaws in students for assessment and evaluation. There's no reason why they shouldn't be used in all of these different areas.
Well, thank you for taking the time to speak to us.
Thank you very much.